Morning, everybody. Morning. How are you all? This is as Christmas as I get. I've already been told off by people not being Christmas enough with my kind of Scandinavian jumper. Apparently, it should have Santas and bells and things on it. But, hey-ho. It's got reindeers on it, hasn't it, Julie? Yeah. Oh, you see the reindeers? It's got Christmas trees on it. We're in. Dave likes it. Dave, that's a cool jumper. Dave's got like the mirror image of this jumper on. We're having that. Excellent. Well, happy Christmas, everybody. Exciting times coming. Isn't it great having the tree up with loving the candy canes this morning and the decorations. There are more decorations to come. So I do get excited. The carol service can be really exciting this year. Just want to encourage you to be there. We already know we've got 50 guests coming. And they're going to bring with them a whole pile of their guests with them as well, aren't they, Esther? So it's going to be amazing. Okay, so that whole side, we're going to say, just be blessed and grab hold of that side. So we want to be here, we want to have a great time. We're going to have a great chance to celebrate the gift of Christ at Christmas, but also to share the good news that brings with so many people. You know, what an opportunity, what a joyful time. So let's be into that. Well, this morning I want to talk about everything being new. Everything being new this morning, so we'll get cracking. New life. Who would like a new life? Beginning, everything brand new. Okay, you fairly reluctant. I've got, come on, to reinvent, to rebrand. I love it when things are rebranded. Oh, I just realised we've got it there. I don't need to keep looking behind me. That's ace. I did that. It's got screws like that through it. I love it when I see people walking around town wearing their sporting clothing, their Adidas kit. Or their Nike or their Uber running shoes. I've noticed that, like, because now I notice running shoes, I'm supposed to have these incredibly expensive running shoes. And I just think, because you're wearing it, doesn't mean you're doing it. And you see so many people wearing their sporting gear. It's the thing to do. And then yesterday, Julie and I called in at this outdoor pursuits type place, full of the most amazing. You could climb Everest with the kit in there. And everybody's milling around wearing this stuff, and I'm thinking, and you're popping to Tesco. You don't need to wear the mountaineering gear to go to Tesco. But people like to... Who here is wearing a branded label this morning? Go on, put your hand up if you've got a label on this morning. We've got some people with labels, and I wanted to buy for my jumper. There's one you can get online, and it's a plain grey Christmas jumper, just in plain grey, and on the front it says, like, Asda Smart Price Christmas jumper. That's all it says. I really wanted that jumper. There's a Tesco one as well, isn't there? Tesco value range. I wanted it, but Julie said it wasn't festive enough, so I didn't get it. But I might still get it. Neil, do the reveal. Oh, my days. Oh, come on, Neil. Come on. Oh, now that's a Christmas jumper. You see, the other Christmas jumper I wanted looked like that, but it was unfastened at the front and it had a whole six-pack and the whole shebang. But I didn't feel I could preach this Sunday with my six-pack hanging out. And I thought, just like, so I didn't get that jumper. I love that. Neil, put your jumper on, mate. I've got to preach. I'm looking the other way. We get labelled in different ways and we choose to wear different labels ourselves. One of the things that we're often conscious of at this type of year with labelling of things, people like to buy brands and do brands, but people are labelled. We label ourselves. People are often labelled. And at this time of year, we tend to talk about the shepherds at Christmas, you know, the shepherds out on the hillside and all that stuff, and angels appearing. And the shepherds are always labelled in a particular way. And I'm going to look at that labelling today because I think it impacts us, it affects us. And at the end of the time, I'm going to call the band back up and we'll probably sing that song we finished with, if that's all right. This is me remembering to warn you beforehand. Okay? And we're just going to have a look at, respond to how God labels us. Or does he label us? Being a shepherd in those days was a supremely lonely, tiresome, usually very boring and tedious job. Sometimes dangerous. You had lots of contact with sheep, not a lot of contact with people. King David in the Old Testament began as a shepherd. And many shepherds, apparently, I'm told, historically, learn to play instruments, flutes, harps and things, because what do you do on a hillside at night when you're surrounded by sheep? You've got hours and hours and hours to practice doing something. You might as well learn to play an instrument or use a slingshot or do whatever it is you do. There's no alternative but find your own entertainment. There is no Netflix on a boring night. So all that shepherds do on a night is wash their socks. It's true, isn't it? Oh, do you know? That was one of Paul Dunning's jokes, wasn't it? So, says in Scripture, and there were sheep, shepherds even, living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. So these shepherds, they live in the fields nearby. They're near to the town, so they've got access to the town. But they're not in the town. They're not of the town. They're not welcome in the town. They live on an hill, so they're just kind of just removed from life. They're watching over life and watching over their flocks. But I'm going to keep saying socks all morning now. But they're just held back from it ever so slightly. Boredom can be incredibly powerful when you're looking on at people having a good time. Have you ever been in a position where you can't join in, but you can watch people having a good time? It's so difficult. Maybe these shepherds felt that same kind of way, that they were looking on and looking over life. They were living in a field at the edge of life. You know, sometimes we all think we fancy a little bit of boring downtime. Anybody fancy some boring downtime? I like a bit of downtime, but I soon get bored. I soon get twitchy. And boredom can be so overwhelming. So when he gets bored, Robert can't be bored. He even has one of these like, little twiddly cube things. So he's never actually still. At any moment, there's always some twiddling going off. This need to do, and I kind of get that. This need not to do, the need to do something. This morning, I want to address that, because what happens when you're leading a boring life, and all of a sudden, on an hillside, something begins to happen. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Boom. You imagine, you're on the edge of life, and then suddenly an angel. And suddenly an angel. Now, I don't know how you perceive angels, but angels are not the ones that we stick on tops of trees. You know, the blonde ones with little wings and a fairy dress? That is not an angel. Angels are powerful messengers of God. These beings are significant, powerful things. And when one of those appears in front of you, I'll tell you, every time in Scripture when an angel appears, people are terrified and fall flat on their faces. So don't think it's a, you know when people say, there was an angel at the foot of my bed? Right, I think God can do that. And we perceive that gentleness. But these angels are also messengers and powerful. And there's something to be afraid of. God breaks into their edge of life living, says, don't be afraid. At this point, we normally start saying things about the shepherds, about how humble they are. We like to say things like, God loves people so much, he breaks into the humblest of lives. And then we can identify with the humblest of lives. Who likes to think of themselves as humble like a shepherd? Well, we say that we are every single year, so you've all got to put your hand up now and say, yeah, I just feel just like a shepherd in the Middle East on a hillside 2,000 years ago. Good. Man after my own heart. They were humble nobodies, and it's true they were, and we are like them, and we should identify. That's the whole point. This is what Scripture says about the humble. You see, sometimes when we talk about the humble, we think of them as nothing. We think of them as nobodies, when actually it's a state of heart, and humility is a state of heart we should aspire to. Can you aspire to humility? We should. Listen to what Scripture says about the humble. We talk about humble sometimes, though it's a weak thing or a poor thing. This is what 2 Samuel says. This is in the Bible. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the proud to bring them low. Psalm 194. He crowns the humble with salvation. Isaiah 66. This is what the Lord says. This is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Matthew 23:12. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. 1 Peter 5:5-6. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Being humble is a good thing. I'll tell you what, if you want access to the great stuff of God, be humble before him. So when an angel of the Lord appears, be afraid. Be afraid and be humble, because that's the beginning of the doorway to seeing the glory of God. Humble pie is really important. It's all true, it's all very powerful, but I think this is even, that there is even more going on here that I want us to look at this morning. There is something significant that we need to learn about these shepherds, because this is about our lives. Humble, it appears, is being nothing, is being less than nothing in the world's eyes. But to God, that is something very different. Humble before God is to allow yourself to be embraced by God, to understand the impossible value he puts on you. And when you realize how much you are loved by God, how humbling is that? When you know your life and all you've been and all you are, how humbling is that when you see the depth of his love for you and his commitment and passion for you? That is humbling. To be humble is to know that this nobody is somebody to the one body that matters. What a moment to hold on to. To know that this nobody is somebody to the one body that matters. So if you've ever sat there and thought, but I am nobody. And I know in this room there are people that sit here and regularly think, but who am I? I am nobody. Well, here's the deal. You are somebody to the one body that actually matters. And I think that is a message to carry. That is part of the good news of Christmas. That is part of the good news that the angel brought at Christmas time. I've recently had a number of occasions where people have been telling me about how it was and how it is and how it could be and how it should be, and back in the day it wasn't that great. Ever had that conversation with somebody? Back then it was this, why can't we do that again? Come on! Is that just me that hears that conversation? Or is it just you that has that conversation and sends it to me? You have that. You're all the ones that have the conversation with me. Right. So, I never understand that. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Nostalgia. I love nostalgia. I kind of miss it. The film industry at the moment is constantly in a round of rebooting everything. It's sequels all the time. We're about to get Indiana Jones, whatever it is, 5, 6, I don't know, Raiders of the Old Folks Home or something. It's just like, it's so... Really? Social media captures the moment in our lives and hangs on to it, just like cinema hangs on to it. Have you done that thing where you watch a film and think, wow, I love this film? I was watching, I watched Scrooged last night, and I suddenly realized this film was made in the early 1980s, and I said, wow, all these people are pensioners now. Or dead. And I was really shocked. I was really shocked. He's still breathing, Jill. It's all right. I was really shocked. And I realized what we do, we preserve our lives in a moment. And we think of ourselves in that moment. And social media captures our moments. They're captured and held for all time. But that's not who we are anymore. We've moved on, and we can be tied in our history. We can be tied to that moment. When actually we've grown, and we need to grow, we need to move on. Even the good things stop being good. Last night I opened my fridge, and there before me was a healthy, nutritious bag of one of my favourite green foods, spinach. I love fresh leaf spinach. And it was there in the bag, good and healthy, except it had turned to green water. Because I've not opened said bag. And I realised there's this like balloon shape in the back of the fridge where the gases have begun to expand. And any minute now, this bag is going to explode in the fridge. So I very carefully removed it from the fridge, placed it in the bin and popped it. And it went with a boom. It set off healthy. But I can't keep it in the moment. No matter how much of a sealed bag my life may be in. I need to move on. Everyone wants their moment. Everyone wants their moment. We do Botox. We do duck lips. We do dental. We do denial. Just as long as we can hold on to the moment, the feeling, the experience. At the moment, there are people in the jungle in Australia trying to hold on to their moment of fame, trying to recapture the fame that they once had. Won't work. They'll be famous for a week, and then they'll be unfamous again. I've recently downloaded music from my past. Has anybody ever downloaded music from their history? Oh, I remember listening to that. I'm going to download that again. Isn't it rubbish? Oh, it's just dire. I ought to have played it. I just thought, I've not heard any Dire Straits for years. And I put some Dire Straits on, and I listened to it and thought, that was really good music, that, then. Then. Still good music. But I thought, I've moved on. There's new music now, and there's new things I want to listen to. For me, it was yesterday's moment. It reminded me of things that are gone. I'm having a bit of a nostalgia fest. Some of you will notice I now possess a Captain Scarlet t-shirt. Come on. 50th anniversary this year. I actually bought an original. I got hold of Mum. Where is she? Where's my Mum? I got hold of the Captain Scarlet annual you got me in 1967. I've got hold of a mint copy of it for £8. I remembered every word from being a little boy. I knew what happened in the, I've read it. I knew every story. I knew what was in it. It's mint. And then I got bored and put it on the side. Been there, done that. I was 8. What if there's a new possibility in front of us? What if we don't have to recapture moments, but actually there's something new coming? What if an angel's breaking in saying, I have something new and bigger and better and good? The shepherds are about to have their moment, but like all moments come with a choice. Be defined by the moment or changed by it. Be defined in the moment or changed by it. You see, oh, that one's... You know, it's like Eddie the Eagle will always be defined by ski jumping. You know, that guy's a super intelligent guy that's done a lot of other successful things, but he's defined by being a bad ski jumper. 30 years later, he's still a bad ski jumper. He carries that. I want to tell you this morning, we don't want to be defined by the moment. We want to be redefined. We can explain humble shepherds all day, and they can be humble all night, but God redefines them. They matter enough to hear good news. I want to talk about that good news now. These nobodies were always somebody to the one body that matters. They just didn't know it until that moment when an angel breaks in and gives them a choice. You can be redefined. Listen, do not be afraid, the angel says. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Fear has no place over you or for you. That's what the angel, you know, it's so often when an angel breaks into people's lives through scripture and in this situation, and when the Lord breaks into our lives, what is he doing? He's saying, I'm breaking fear. Fear not. Break that fear. That is so foundational to everything, and yet we live by fear. What will people think? We fear that. What will I do in the future? We fear that. We fear people finding out. We fear that. We live by fear so often. But here's the deal. God says, I'm breaking you free of fear. It has no place in your life because fear defines us, but God redefines us. Fear has no place over you. It's good news. These shepherds are suddenly discovering that they have purpose. They are somebody and they have purpose. And there's a deal there for them. All they have to do is to hold it in their heart. This is the moment of choice. Where will their heart and mind go? What are the possibilities for them? The moment they agree to being redefined, God sees their heart and mind, and this happens to them. Their moment becomes a transformation movement. It says this in Luke chapter 2. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared to the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, that the Lord has told us about. You see, they meet with an angel who says, here's the deal, here's the deal. And in the heart and the mind, they get it. And the moment they get it, the world lights up. There's a heavenly host. Do you get the gentleness of God there? God steps in with an angel and says, here's the opportunity. And the minute in their heart and mind, it's a yes. Boom. Everything opens up. Their dark night becomes light. And here's the best thing. They stop being people on a hillside, and immediately their response is, we're down with the people. We're getting involved. We're going. Boom. The door opens to a whole new life. They are redefined. The angel newsflash could have just been added to their life. They could have told stories about it. Hey, do you remember that day? Years and years ago, do you remember when we saw the angel? They could have told the when we saw the angel story forever, but instead they were redefined by it and they carried something remarkable. Church, we need to carry something remarkable. Yeah. We have good news. When change comes, it's big. And change is always because of Jesus arriving. Change is always Jesus arriving. These shepherds get redefined, and their old and new lives are defined in different ways. The old is passing. They're the moments. The new is embracing the movement. I just want us to think about this. When our lives are defined, even the power of God can become a momentary addition. But a life redefined by the power of God can become a life of movement. We need a life of movement. See, sometimes we want to just add on the experience of God. Oh, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, I spoke in tongues. Oh, I heard a prophecy. Oh, I did this. Oh, I did that. And there, I'm stacking up the top trump cards. Still, I've got the full set. That's not what we're about. We're about being transformed. The shepherds are a physical example of our spiritual and literal possibility of life redefining because of Jesus. It's about the gospel's good news ability, not to add to life, but to empower life and make it new. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. How can they ever be boring verses? This is the heart of the defining, redefining moment to movement. The moment when the old and new are side by side. We have a choice. And even this morning, church, we've got a choice. We've got a choice. We add into our mindset all the memories that we've got. We're redefined by them and we move further into God. We don't just collect them. We're changed by them. So, all of us carry labels. Every person in this room is labeled. Every person in this room has things stuck to them. Things have been called, things have been said, things announced over them, things pronounced over them. A guy called Kierkegaard, yes, I'm clever, I've read some Kierkegaard. Anybody heard of Kierkegaard? Søren Kierkegaard? Yeah, intelligent people know who he is. If you don't worry about it. The joys of Google quote search. He said this, if you label me, you negate me. When we label those people around us, we make them less. So when we see people in the streets of Barnes that we think need the good news of Jesus, can we not label them with what they are and the troubles they've got and the damage that they are? Because when we label them, we negate them. We make them less than what they are. What they are is somebody. Is somebody. And that they belong to God. To the one body that matters. They are somebody. God doesn't label us. Do you know what he does? God names us. God names us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. So they will put my name on them and I will bless them. See, our God doesn't label you. He names you. You're not a product. You're a person. You're not an experience. You're a person. The choice looks like this in Colossians 3, verse 10. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Who's heard that verse before? Put on the new self. I want to show you what that looks like. This, brothers and sisters, that sounded very religious, is sin. I know it looks like a day-glow jacket, but it's actually sin. Boo, hiss. Ooh. Come on, it's pantomime season. Neil's got it.
It's behind
you. No, it's on me. Oh, yes, it is. So, this is my sin. This is my motorcycle day glow. It kind of, it smells like it's been on the roads for quite a few years, this. This is my sin. Shiny sin. Nice sin. Reflective sin. Is it glittering? Oh. Well, it's my sin. This is my life and these are my choices. And don't you judge me. Is that all right? Anybody got one of these jackets? I mean spiritually, you know, metaphorically, I don't mean literally. Anybody walk around, anybody ever done sin? You know, it's when you get it wrong, when you mess up, when you do bad things. Wow, three people have done bad things. Wow, four people have done bad things. Oh, come on, all of you. Right, if you're not putting your hand up now, you're sinning, because you're basically lying to all of us. You can't see me. You see, what happens, we have this sin, but Jesus says, put on the new self. Put on the new self. And so he gives me, wrap yourself, clothe yourself in Christ. So we're given this amazing thing. We clothe ourselves quite literally in Christ. Look, I am now clothed in Christ. What do you see? What do you see? You see this new coat. And me wrapped up snug and warm in this new coat. But what haven't I done? I've not taken my sin off. And I've got to tell you, that's what we're all messing about all the time. Because then the minute I'm clinging on to Christ, and then I get comfortable, hey, this is all right, I'm actually warm, and I relax a little bit, and suddenly you can begin to see the sin again. And it begins to break out. And that's where so many of us live. Look, we're still clothed in Christ. He's the most precious thing to him. We cling on to him, but occasionally we relax, but let the guard down, and the sin stuff is still inside. We've not taken off the old self. We've simply added Christ to our existing experience. Why am I so often defeated in life? Why does the old assert itself so powerfully in my life? How do I know what lies beneath my new coat? Because I know I didn't take it off. I've always known it was there. And we stifle it and control it, but sooner or later, it will bite us. I need to own the name. Embracing the new life, the righteousness of Christ over us, means even when the battle comes, something supernatural happens. Isaiah 32 says, the fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. Philippians 4 says this, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, when I take off the old self and put on the new, irrespective of what comes to me, there is a different kind of living taking place. Sometimes, just under the new, the old still has a defining home in our lives. The labels stick. Has anybody ever said over you, you are this, you are that, you are weak, you are failed, you're not good enough, you're inadequate, you're not this? You know what, no matter what good things we put on over the top of us, something in our hearts and minds still owns those words. Something in our hearts and minds still remembers, yes, but somebody once said, and they judged me, and that's how I was perceived. But here's the deal, God breaks that off us. Ephesians 4:22. Everything connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it and then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. How good is that? That is what is being said to the shepherds at that moment. And that is what is being said to us. That's what redefining looks like. Luke 2, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They've been redefined. They no longer live on a hillside. They're now involved. They make a choice to make the moment into a movement. They wear that new name. They're redefined by the decision to put on the new life. They embrace God's big label and release the labels of history that had defined them until that moment. Success, failure, rejection, disappointment, pride, fear, talent, appearance, wealth, all of that is set aside and they are named by Christ. The old labels were the lie. The new names are God's given truth. The truth, God steps into their life with good news. And God steps into our life with good news and releases us from labels. God's vision for you is the truth that he speaks into you and the truth that he speaks over you. Luke 2 says this about you. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But that is the same promise given to us. When we believe that word, we can be redefined by it. We can be named by Christ, and we can go and tell. Their movement from sheep and socks by night to being people with purpose right at the center. They're set free from fear. That's the heart of the good news. See, I once heard a prophecy. I once had a word. I had an experience, I had an encounter, I heard a sermon, I gave a sermon, I wrote a song, I gave my life, I saw an angel. Thank God for those moments, but know that they exist to open a door to movement. They're a moment of choice given by God. They're your invitation to the promises of God. They're the trailer to the film, the advert to the new life you can put on. They're the coat held out, they're the choice. The most expensive name ever, won at the cross, is offered to you in those moments. The name that replaces the branding and the label that you carry. That one Jesus name that will redefine who you are and how you live. The one name that breaks every past moment and releases your now into movement, into growth, into being loved. Own it. Move into it. Be named by it. Can I have the band back, please? Church, I encourage you, implore you this morning, not just to have the moment, but to embrace the name, to take off the old, to reject the labels, and to embrace the name of Christ. Happy Christmas, because this is good news for you and all mankind, that we can identify with the shepherds, not just in their humility, but in their renaming, in their new purpose, in their new opportunity, in their new choice, in the new identity. We can know that this nobody is somebody to the one body that matters. That's who you are this morning. You are somebody to the one body that matters. Don't let anybody tell you different to that. Because any word different to that, I promise you in Scripture, it is a lie. Because his name that he places on you is King of Kings, Saviour, Redeemer, Strong Tower, Protector, Refuge, Lord of Lords, name above all names, Jesus. And he puts that name on you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And so put the name of Jesus on them and bless them. Church, we're going to sing in a moment. We're going to worship. And what I want to encourage you to do this morning, even in this setting, in this funny little room surrounded by Christmas presents and trees and lights and sparkly things and history and all the labels that you carry, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to respond this morning to all that God has for you. Think in all those moments. Think in all the promises. Think in all the potential. And know this, that our God puts the name of Jesus over you and on you. That is an amazing Christmas, because it sets us free from fear and it gives us life. So if when I put my Dayglow jacket on and my coat over it, if that feels in any way familiar this morning, that somehow the old self keeps reasserting itself, somehow I keep battling with the labels that other people put on there, that it has no place, I don't want it, it doesn't fit, it's too small, it's too restrictive, and the Jesus wrapped around me is the one that I want, I'd encourage you to respond. Maybe there's a space made at the front. You don't have to come right up here anymore. We've made a space at the front. If you want to come and respond and stand in this space, that's fine. We'll come and pray for you. The different leaders about the room will come and stand with you. Just place their hands on their shoulder and just ask God's blessing on you. No more. Just ask God's blessing. Just ask that release of his name over you, that he'd turn his face to you and you'd receive it. So as we worship, if that's you this morning, or if you just want to stand here and say, I've got hold of it. I have got it. I am set free. Wow. And I want to celebrate it. Then let us know. Let's celebrate that. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. God breaks in and he breaks into your life. And he says, you're not a nobody. You're somebody to the one body that matters. To Jesus. Amen. Let's see our lives change. Let's worship God.
One with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. My
powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Haven't we got an amazing God? And that name of Jesus, it just goes beyond everything else. And it doesn't matter what's going off.